Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 107. And it is the week of Labor Day weekend, 2010. I'd like to thank you for coming along, downloading the show. And if you've been a regular listener, you'll know that I've been in a little bit of a rut lately, but I'm starting to climb out of it. Had a couple good training runs here lately, and I think things are going to start to improve. If you're a new listener, I'd like to thank you for coming along. I'm an ordinary, nobody, middle-of-the-pack runner who somehow hacks his way along through marathons and beyond. And I'm really just like you if you're a normal person. This is not a podcast that for elite runners. You'll find it probably pretty boring because I'm a pretty slow runner. However, if you are a regular runner who likes to just go out there for recreation and try not to come in last in your age group, then this is definitely the podcast for you. Anyway, thanks for coming along. I do the podcast from Ashland, Virginia, which is affectionately known as the center of the universe by locals. And that's why the podcast is called that, and that's generally where I do most of my running. Today, I am inside my wonderful recording studio, which is my kitchen counter. But I've got the doors open to the house. The temperatures are finally down in the low 80s. We had some seriously high temperatures for the last couple weeks, over 100 degrees, which is unusual for Virginia, especially because it's a very humid area. It's not a dry heat. It's very humid heat, which means if you go out and try to run in it, you get miserable really quick, which is what happened to me, and I think that's why I have not really had a good summer ever since I came back from my injury in late June. So for this show, I'm going to be talking about the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which I ran last week, and I'll hit on a couple other things that have been coming up, and also talk about a little bit of about the fall and the winter and the early spring, what my plans are. I'm trying to get together a plan now that I feel like I'm back a little bit, and I want to start getting together or figure out what I'm going to do for over the next, 6 to 8 months. I don't think I'm going to be able to bear training through the summer anymore to do fall marathons. I just, after this summer, maybe it's because I just had a big, I had a tough early summer and got injured. And if you're a new listener and you don't understand why I got injured, go back and listen to the race report from the North Face Endurance Challenge, which was a 50-miler for me, and you'll understand how I got hurt. I'm not going to go into all that over again. But if you do want to listen, learn about that, go back a couple episodes. I guess it's, I think it was episode 100, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken. I think I did episode 100, which was the 50-mile race report. But I've gotten back to doing some longer runs. When I say longer, I'm talking about 5 miles. I did do the half marathon, and that's really what this episode's about. I'm going to talk about that race. I did finish, and I had a really good time. And we'll get into a little bit about what I'm going to do in the winter and the spring. I guess I'll touch on that for a little bit now. I actually have dropped my goal of doing a spring 50-miler. I don't think it's going to be possible for me to do that. I just need some more time. I think I'm going to focus on trying to do 2 marathons in the spring and perhaps do another 50-miler either the following fall or the next spring. And I'll talk about why. I'm looking at Umpstead, which is a 100-mile race but has a 50-mile option. And my friend Tom, who listens to the show generally, he has told me that there's a chance it's too hard to get into, really. And Dirt Dog had told me also that it essentially sells out in about 4 minutes on the internet, and I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, so I'm going to figure out how to get into that race without having to do it on the internet. And it's possible maybe if I volunteer, I can do that. So let's talk about the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. And I've got the Herald Progress here, which is our local newspaper. And it really had some good coverage on it. This is the September 2nd edition of the Herald Progress. The Patrick Henry Half Marathon was in its fourth year. I've done all 4 years. It's kind of become the hometown race. It started off as the Battlefield Half Marathon, which is over in Verona. And the number of people who wanted to do the half marathon that time of year, it outgrew its venue. So race organizers, and the race had always been put on by Richmond Roadrunners. Well, they combined with sports backers and got with Hanover County and Ashland and renamed the race the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and it started back in 2006, I guess. It'd be 2007. The Battlefield was the last. 2006 was the last one with the Battlefield Half Marathon. So 2007 was the first year for Patrick Henry. It's traditionally been pretty hot and humid. We had pretty decent weather this past week. And it started around 7:15 in the morning, and it's supposed to start at 7, but it's kind of hard to get into the park because it's essentially one way in and one way out, and there's just a long line of cars that comes in. I mean, everybody gets there, but when you get there about quarter after 6, you kind of want the race to start on time. We had to park pretty far away this year. Tom came and picked me up a little before 6. This year there was over 1,300 runners in it, which is pretty good. I don't know if that was up or down from last year, but I think it's pretty significant. And I was one of those runners. I actually started all the way at the back with the Ashland Runner Girls group. We've been looking for them since we got there. And we couldn't find them anywhere. Of course, they were in all pink, and then we finally looked back, and there they were. So we pretty much started all the way at the back. It was a chip time race. And that is one little criticism I wanted to throw in here. Overall, it's well put on. But it was a chip race where they had the little chip bands on the back of the bib, and what the organizers or the volunteers had done is they had secured the chips to the back of the bib in a manner where you couldn't rip off the bottom tab to attach to your gear bag so you could check your bag. They have that there. And it has these little messages on there saying, don't bend the chip. Well, a couple years back, when they had the chips in the shoe, I must have bent mine, and mine did not pick up. So I was very reluctant to even mess with the chip at all, and as a result, I couldn't pull off the bottom part of my bib. I guess I could have, but then the chip would have stuck out. And I like to attach my bib to my shorts because I tend to use my shirt to wipe my face off a lot. So I like to fold it over, make it as small as I can, but I wasn't able to do that. I'm not really sure why that all, but it wasn't really that big of a deal, I guess, but. Anyway, I wish they had not made the chip so it was attached to the little pull-off tab at the bottom of the bib. But on the flip side, the bibs are personalized, which is pretty cool. I do like that. You know, it's not just a generic bib. It's got the name of the race. And I think this one didn't have our name on it, but it had the name of the race. And unlike some other runs that you do, it's just the generic, you know, Runner's World bib. And then if you want to remember what race that was, if you're like, I like to put my race bibs up in the garage because I like to look at them, I'll write the name of the race on there. Anyway, the Patrick Henry Half Marathon had over 1,300 runners. I don't know how many people finished. I guess pretty much everybody did. The overall winner was John Moltz, who ran it in an incredible, you got to get a load of this, course record of 108.34. And that's on track for inside of a 220 full marathon. Just unbelievable. Second place was a 17-year-old rising senior at Atlee High School named Andrew Cantonese. And he was just, I'm making myself tired. I think he had about a minute and a half advantage. Waltz did. And the first place winner, and there's also a course record by John Moltz. The first place female was Emily Ward, who's a graduate of the University of Richmond, and she also set a women's course record at 1:23:45. That's just incredible that this kind of talent was out here for this this half marathon, which is a little bit of a hilly course. It's not too bad. It's not really a it's not really a PR course by any means, because it's got one big half-mile hill. It's about 0.2 It's not even a quarter mile down, but then it's a half mile going up. And the reason I know it's 0.2 going up, going down, is because I do my hill repeats on that section. When I do hill repeats, haven't done those in quite some time. Actually, you know, one thing I wish that the organizer had done with this race is if they would reverse it each year. I always thought that would be kind of cool. I guess course record times might not mean as much, but you know, what's the big deal? So next year, if I run it, I was actually thinking about running it in reverse, and nobody would really know that anyway. The water stops might not be ready at the end, but I could carry my own water and just do it in reverse. I mean, if it's a chip race, no one's going to know the difference. And the way that the course is, it goes out along a dirt road through some woods out into the main road, and you would still start with everybody. And you would finish really with everybody. It would be probably nobody would even notice whatsoever. I was thinking about doing that next year, maybe with one other person and just not really telling anybody. Of course, I'm telling everybody right now on my podcast. So obviously I was much farther back behind the winner, and I ran 2:20:30, I think is what it was, something like that. And I was actually pretty pleased with my effort. And the reason is I only did 8 training runs before that. After the 50 miler, which was June 5th. So I pretty much took the next 3 weeks off after June 5th, and I did a couple training runs, then did one 5K race, which was just a fun training effort. And just did 2 5 milers the week of the half marathon. And then when I went out to actually do the race, I was very, very relaxed. I had no anxiety at all. My plan was just to go out and make it to the finish line one way or the other. And I saw several people that I knew. And when that happens, you always want to get out there and run with them. Well, I just stuck to my own plan. I just ran as long as I wanted to. I didn't do a run-walk type of plan or anything. I just decided I'd get out there and run for as long as I could. And then I would start doing a run-walk till I got to the finish line. I knew I would be able to get there. I've had some difficulty in that race before because of the humidity. Matter of fact, it was pretty nice at the start, but as the morning wore on, it did get pretty humid. And I remember running behind a guy who I thought he had all this white stuff all over the backs of his legs, and I thought it was he had just smeared a bunch of goo and Vaseline and Crisco or something all over the back of his legs. I mean, it was just all this. It just looked like he had just smothered the backs of his legs with this stuff. It was so obvious. And turns out it was perspiration and foam, like perspiration foam. And I remember Crash Kreider a couple years back doing some race had some kind of weird foaming coming out of his shorts. So I don't know if it's a interaction with the perspiration and a certain type of detergent or something. But once I got a little closer to him, I realized that it wasn't Crisco or a Vaseline or anything like that. It was kind of a foam. It was foam. It was just really strange. I didn't ask him because I don't know if he knew it was there. And I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when I ran this race, my shoes foamed out. Moisture was foaming, bubbling out of the tops of my shoes. So that's the kind of humidity that this race brings for whatever reason. It just gets so hot. You know, it's funny because this weekend is the big rock and roll half marathon in Virginia Beach that a lot of people do. A lot of people do both of them because they're you can do them back to back. And perfect weather down there for that. And that's, let's see, I guess that's September 5th. It's always Labor Day weekend, and a friend of mine, Steph, is doing that. So I went out and ran just as long as I could, which turned out to be right up to about the 9 mile mark. I did stop at the 6 mile water station to get some water and talk to my friend Stephanie, who she's doing the rock and roll. She's been doing the water, organizing the 6 mile water stop since the race started, and she's always been really nice. And it's really cool because they get the whole Randolph-Macon's men's soccer team out there, so there must be 30 people or something out there at the water stop really helping out. So you definitely get plenty of water there. Then I just pretty much ran right up to the 9 mile mark, and that's where I had to go to the bathroom. So I guess I stopped at that point, and then I walked for a little bit and ran some more, walked a little bit, ran some more. And when it got to the, it actually looked like I might have gotten inside 2 hours and 20 minutes. Keeping in mind, I think my course PR on this is maybe 2:05, maybe 207, something like that. I haven't broken 2 hours on this course. But it looked like there was a chance that I might actually be able to break 2 hours and 20 minutes, and all of a sudden I got goal-oriented. And then I got back, and when I got into the woods, I was actually pushing it way too much, trying to running about a 9:10 was what my Garmin had. And before I emerged from the woods, I just said, screw it, man. What am I doing? You know, what's the point in trying to break 220 if I wasn't trying to do that all along? So I just, you know, I just slowed down and then came in at 220:30. And I think my the actual clock time was 223 or something. So it took me about 3 minutes to cross the starting line. What they need to do in this race, don't get me wrong, it's a very good race. It's put on, it's done by Richmond Sports Backers, which is a huge sports promotion company. They also, Sports Backers puts on the Richmond Marathon, which if you've ever heard of the Richmond Marathon, it's kind of billed as America's friendliest marathon. I think the Runner's World has even called it that. And that's Sports Backers. They're the ones that do that. They do a great job. They also do the Monument Avenue 10K, which has eclipsed 35,000 runners, I think, last year. I used to do that before it kind of turned into more of an event spectacle type of thing, with costumes and all this carrying on. But I think Sports Backers would be wise to maybe look at the corral system for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. And the reason is because you have all these people starting at one time, running down a single lane road, and then going into a single lane service road through woods, which is probably 8 feet wide. A lot of bottleneck in there. It is a chip race, so you know, you can, if you really don't want to get stuck in there, I guess you could go to the front of the pack. But what happens to us middle of the pack runners is that after you run a couple hundred yards, you're kind of ready to get into a little bit of a rhythm. And that's about the time you enter the woods. And then you got all these other people that aren't in their rhythm yet, or they're talking and carrying on. And so I just think that a corral start might be a halfway decent thing to do in the future if the race increases. Now, I don't know how bigger the race can get, because the parking situation is somewhat limited out of Poor Farm Park, which is just west of Ashland in Hanover County. So it's something the organizers might look at. I don't have any input whatsoever. I think it's a good race. I love having a half marathon right here in my hometown. It goes through Ashland. You know, you can't ask for much more than having a great half marathon right here where you live. You know, I don't even have to go that far for it. There is some talk, I think, that once the Capitol Trail opens up, that the race might be moved to that. Capitol Trail being a link from Richmond to Williamsburg on a recreational path. And if that's, I think they're still acquiring a lot of property to do that. But if once that happens, I think, and I think that's about 50 miles is what they're looking at. So I'm hoping not only do they have moved the half marathon to that, but I would hope that they would also, whoever they is, I don't know, Sports Backers or somebody, would do an ultra through there. And that Richmond Roadrunners might do something like that, I would think. Or maybe they need somebody to spearhead that once that Capitol Trail opens up. 50 miles is a great distance, and it's something I definitely want to conquer again. So that's the Patrick Henry Half Marathon report. Several people there from Team Incognito, saw Kelly, Dana, John. No, I didn't see John. John went there. It was Matt, and let's see, Rodney was there, Tom. Well, Rodney, these people aren't on Team Incognito, but they're locals. Tamara ran it, and then, of course, several of the Ashland Runner girls. Susan, Corinne was a bandit, though. She caught up to us about mile four. Susan, Joanne, Craig was there. Man, I know I'm leaving people out. I saw lots of people that I knew, and that's another reason why I wanted to run it. Oh, and the last reason, because Monica dared me to. My wife actually dared me to go out there and try to run it. So knowing that I had the endurance at one point in time, I knew I could get to the finish line. What my finishing time would be was another matter. But fortunately, I just don't have this big ego where I was, except for when I thought I might be able to break 220, but then that, you know, obviously wised up and didn't fool with it anymore. But I don't have this big ego where I got to go out there and make sure I beat anybody, because I just want to go out and have fun. I mean, the finishing medal's gotten a little bit better over the years. I was a little disappointed in my shirt selection. I picked extra large, and they give the shirts out after the race on this. And it's a great logo. They actually changed the logo from a little colonial hat to a kind of a colonial-looking patriot-looking guy, and it's pretty neat. But what happened was I tried on the extra large, and it was just too long, just way too long. So I went back and asked if I could switch out to a large, which I did. And turns out the large is just too snug around the my visceral area, which is kind of like the my midsection torso. So in hindsight, I wish I'd stuck with the extra large, but that's okay. And then after the race, came home and had that real sluggish feeling, kind of like I did in the old days when I first started doing double digits, where I was just exhausted all afternoon. I just wanted to lie around on the sofa all day. And that's kind of how I felt. And then I wised up, got some fuel in me, and we went over and had a little pool party over at some friends that live a couple blocks away that got a pool behind their house. It's an in-ground pool. It's not an above-ground pool. And just sat there and drank a couple cold ones and just really enjoyed the fact that I was able to get out there and finish that half marathon distance. So what have I done since then? Well, I've done a couple training runs. Actually did 4 miles this morning, did four yesterday, and did three earlier in the week. Let's see. So after the half, which was on a Saturday of last week, I did three and a four, and then a four. So I'm kind of getting back into it pretty easily. The 4 miles went pretty easy. And I think it was just a matter of time before I've got a base down of about 15 miles a week. And what I'm hoping that'll take me into is a program that I'm going to have to pick up pretty heavy in later September, maybe early October, if I want to do the 50K, Seashore Nature Trail 50K in mid-December. I think it's December 18th, which is a Saturday. That's put on by Tidewater Striders, which is an excellent, excellent race that's put on. And I think if I can get my, I've got a program that I used last time. And if I get onto that, I should be able to get my mileage up in order to be ready to do that race in late December. So I've taken the fall marathon season off because we're going to spectate at Richmond. We got a friend that's running the whole thing for her first time, and Mike and I are going to drive around the course to cheer her on and cheer her along on anybody else that we see. And of course, be at the finish line for that. And then I'm hoping, you know, to train through that and then do this 50-mile. I did it at 50K. I did it last year in its inaugural year with Dr. Smitty and John from Team Incognito, and Tom Grant was down there also. And we all finished. It was really almost a miracle that I was able to run it because I had tonsillitis the day before and was actually out of work and then somehow recuperated and then was able to take an hour off my previous 50K time. I'm not really sure how all that worked. Anyway, I'd like to run it again, and if nothing else, for the finishers party, which is at a local restaurant, and they got a room blocked off where they got all the pizza you want and basically all the beer that you want, which you can't ask for much, you know, much better than that. And basically, just people talking, or you know, talking, sitting around talking about long distance running, and I had a real good time there last year. And if I go this year, I'm not going to be in such a hurry to get back. We had a big snowstorm last year, and that was one of the reasons we were kind of anxious to get on the road and get back to see what awaited us back in the Richmond area. So that's December 18th. That is a little bit of a fantasy at this point. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up to that mileage. I'm going to try, but I'm not going to kill myself doing it at all. It's just not worth it. So if I get that, that'd be cool. And that'll obviously, I'll just carry that over into to the spring, which I hope to do maybe two spring marathons. Gonna let go of the 50-mile goal for Umpstead because I just don't think I'll be able to get into that. However, Tom Grant and I are thinking about going down there and being volunteers for the 100-miler to kind of see what it's all about and see if that would maybe influence anybody to allow us to get into the 50-mile option next year for April of 2012. So that's a little bit of a goal. And then, of course, there's the Charlottesville Marathon, which is a possibility. And either Shamrock, which I don't really want to do because it's too expensive to get a hotel to go down there. But there's also the Lower Potomac River Marathon, which is in March. And then you have the B&A Marathon up in Severna Park near Annapolis. And I have a friend that lives up there. So there's a couple of different options. I would like to do two spring marathons. So we'll see how it goes. We're just going to have to see how it goes. There's also the January Swinging Bridge 50K, which I don't think I'll do. It's just too hilly for me. I didn't really enjoy it. That was my first 50K. And I guess I could probably do it again, but it was just so hilly. I didn't I just don't have these fond thoughts of that. Even though the Seashore Nature Trail 50K was essentially running through muck, I just got better memories of that than I do of the 50K the previous January. Anyhow, and then maybe that will, there'll be something else to do in the late spring, or maybe, I don't know. So that's pretty much where I'm at this point. I'm just kind of looking ahead, trying to see if, you know, if it's even worth doing all that. So I'm looking at the calendar. Of course, you know, I always got stuff going on with the family, my wife and daughter, and you have to weigh all that stuff. We had a really nice Team Incognito nice night out last week. 10 of us went out and met out at Capitol Ale House over in Innsbruck, which is west end of Richmond. And when I was pulling in, I saw my good friend Snuggy Bear in the parking lot. And he, you might recall if you've been listening to the show, Snugs and Crash back in June ran back-to-back marathons in 24 hours. They ran the Hatfield-McCoy Marathon in Kentucky and West Virginia at borders, both of those states. And then we got and drove another 8 hours, and they did an endurance run, which I can't remember the name of. It's the Run Under the Stars endurance run in Paducah, Kentucky, and that was a 12-hour. God, I can't remember. I think it was a 12-hour endurance run. And they both cleared the 50K mark. So they did a regular marathon, then a 50K all in a 24-hour period. And that's when Crash got Marathon Maniac status. So anyway, getting back to Snuggy Bear. So I saw him in the parking lot when I was parking. And said he had a gift for me. So he ran back to his car. And he brought me a CD that he said he had gotten at a marathon that he went to when he stayed at the campground. It was a KOA campground in Boone, North Carolina, and I can't remember which marathon he ran down there. He's doing basically one marathon a month, I think, and he's he's interested in the 50 States Club, which is pretty cool. Anyway, he gave me a CD of the Leftover Bluegrass Band, who played, and the CD was recorded live at the Boone, North Carolina KOA on July 4th of 2009, and it's only sold in the Boone KOA office and is a collector's edition. So this is the Leftover Bluegrass Band, and I do, maybe one of these days I'll put, I don't think they've got any stuff, they don't have any, none of this is copyrighted, so what I'll do is, I'm not going to put it in this show, but I'll put it in a future show. I'll pull one of their songs off and play it. It's traditional bluegrass, and I love it. It's not the stuff you hear at regular concerts. It's just pretty traditional, and I really did enjoy it. So, John, thanks a lot for that. I've already listened to all the songs. And I saw Megan at our team social, and she told me that she has not been listening to the show as much, but if I mentioned her, then she would start listening again. So, Megan, here you are. I'm talking about you. Megan is the only Boston qualifier from our Team Incognito running group, and she'll be running Boston in 2011. And I know Crash Kreider is right behind her trying to qualify. So anyway, Megan, I hope you decide to start listening to the show again. And I don't think you're doing much running right now. I think you're doing, I know you're doing triathlons, but maybe you're not doing the running part of that. So anyway, send me an email if you get around to it. Let me know if you're doing any running or not. And, of course, we had our night out, which was really nice. We try to do that every now and then. One of the main reasons we were doing it is because two of our people in our group have decided to get married. that would be Matt and Dana. And then Rachel and Ryan are going to actually be leaving the States, and they're moving to Canada, where Rachel's from. Ryan is a regular listener to the show. I've kind of did a little bit of an ode to Ryan in a previous episode, maybe two episodes back. Ryan likes to explore the various possibilities and different experiences with running, even to the point of doing a naked race up in, I think it was Vancouver. So my hat's off, I can't say my pants are off to you, but my hat's off to you, Ryan, for always wanting to explore those different things. And we're going to miss you when you're gone. I guess y'all are leaving as soon as you get your house sold. So maybe we'll get to see you again. It was really good seeing you the other night. And hopefully you'll still listen to the podcast and send me an email from time to time. All right, well, we do, speaking of emails, we do have a couple this week. Got a real nice one from Rob, and I'm going to hit on that one here in just a second. But let me just scan through these others. And anyway, let's get to the email bag section of the show. All right, Matt Howard checked in, and this is actually maybe an email that I kind of initiated, but he's over at the Run Digger Run podcast, and he's at episode 50, and I think you got to episode 50. Anyway, we were talking about that, and I sent him a little note. He said it's a he's not sure if he's going to be able to keep podcasting beyond because it just takes so much time, but he's really enjoyed the conversational aspect of it, so... maybe he said he might stop at 100, call it done. He's not sure yet. But anyway, Matt, hope you keep the podcast out. I'm a regular listener. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll listen to a handful at a time instead of on a weekly basis just because of the way time goes. So anyway, it was really good to hear from you, and I wish you all the best with episode 50 and beyond. One thing I forgot to – oh, I got a – this is I'm going to get this Snitzel's link in a second here because I said in the last show I was going to get to his stuff. But what I wanted to say about the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which I forgot to say, is that after when you get home after that, they actually got a finishing camera at the end, and they actually send you the video clip of you finishing, which was pretty cool when I was able to download it. But it's got the player that it uses is too advanced for my computer, so I'm not able to actually. It's kind of hard to explain. I can play it on my desktop. But I wasn't able to insert it into my regular video editing software for some reason, maybe because it didn't recognize it. But that's the first time I've ever been in a race where they actually send you your finishing video, which is very interesting. It's just an interesting concept. You know, I can understand seeing video pictures. But they actually just have it for them to send you your video clip of you finishing. I thought was an interesting idea. And I guess, you know, the way things advance and the way people have different ideas and everything, soon you'll be able to, they'll be able to email you a hologram and you'll be able to watch yourself running right in front of you or something. I guess that's the new, that'll be the latest social media technology or something, these holograms. So anyway, let me hit on Tom's real quick. What Tom and I are going to try to do is, he works with a guy who... has something to do with the Umstead 100, and he's going to talk to him about volunteering. And what we're going to hope is that if we can volunteer this year, maybe we can somehow get an entry for next year. So then I would totally focus on the 50 miler for the following spring of 2012, and then I would just probably take some time off and then start my training in a very regimented training program. So I don't tear myself up doing the 50 milers, and so I can, you know, meet that 12-hour goal, which is what I'd want to do. But anyway, let me talk about Rob's email. This was really cool. Rob said he's been listening to the podcast for a few years now. I don't know where he lives, but he has emailed me a few times. Not Rob, I'm sorry, I just don't remember where you're from, but I do remember hearing from you. But he said he had to take a break from running for several weeks while he recovered from hernia surgery. And he couldn't do any running, any exercising while he was recovering. So he had gained some weight, lost the endurance and stamina that he built up for running over the last few years. And he got really discouraged, and especially when he tried to jump back into running at his previous pace and distance. Now, Rob, I know exactly how you feel because I think I talked about that in one of the podcasts. You think you're going to get everything back, but you're not. You're going to have to kind of earn it back by small wins, you know, little bits, pieces here and there. But anyway, Rob went on to write that his frustration really set him back mentally. He struggled to get back into an active lifestyle, and he actually had stopped listening to the podcast while he was inactive because it always gave him some motivation, but he wasn't motivated, so he had quit listening to the show. But anyway, this past weekend he decided enough was enough, and it was time to get his ass back in gear, and he did. He loaded up his iPhone with multiple episodes of Running the Center of the Universe podcast because he was a couple weeks behind. And then he actually found that what he was listening to, which was me struggling to get back into running, which was exactly what was happening to him. So he was able to make a real good connection on that. And he said the timing couldn't have been any better. And it was really, really reassuring to know that someone else shares the same struggles and thoughts on getting back into running after a recovery. And as in the past, he writes that my podcast is helping me with his motivation, which he definitely needs right now. So thanks for the podcast and keep up the great work. Rob, like I said in my email back to you, first of all, I really appreciate you listening to the show, and I really appreciate you taking the time to send in that email. And, you know, when I started the show, couple years ago was mainly just a way, it was really just an outlet for me, not necessarily a creative outlet or just something to get me through my running. You know, go out there and talk to yourself for 30 minutes. I mean, the run is going to go by pretty fast. And, you know, as you do a podcast, you're obviously, you can't just ignore people that listen to it. You really need to interact with them. And so as the podcast evolved, you know, I started meeting some people and getting to know them just through running, you know, through emails back and forth and finding, and then I'd run into people at different races, and the podcast kind of evolved into more of an interactive type of thing than just kind of a one-way thing, which was expected. I just didn't think it would happen as much as it did. So for you to write that email and to be inspired by me, who an ordinary middle of the pack, you know, nobody, is very, very motivating, and it makes me feel really good, you know, obviously. And that's really the whole reason, I guess, I do the podcast. The whole underlying reason is really to help myself and other people. And obviously, I've helped you, and that really makes me feel really good. And I hope there are others out there that maybe get similar inspiration. And Rob, I really hope that you can get back to where you are. I don't think umbilical hernia surgery, which is what you had, really compares at all to my minor problem of you know, major, severe, and ultra blistering. But I can at least relate to the struggling and getting back to where I want to be. Especially when I'm trying to, you know, carry my 215-pound ass down the road, wondering why, you know, I get tired after 30 seconds. You know, I know I'll get past that. Like today, for example, today, I'd only been running probably 5 minutes, and I was wondering why I was out there. I said, there's just no way I'm going to be able to run 4 miles today. I just feel really sluggish. And somehow you kind of break through, you know, break through to the mile, and then you get to the second mile and your third mile, and before you know it, you're organizing your route to get back home so you can make your distance goal, and next thing, and then you got, then there's another one on the book. So I know what you're talking about, man, and I really appreciate you taking the time to write the email. That's really why I do the show, is really to help myself and to help other people. And so needless to say that your email was right on time. All right, I got to talk about, and thanks for listening to the show, Rob, I got to talk about Schnitzels from Mechanicsville. On the last show, I totally neglected his comment. And he's put a couple links that he sent in my email, which I had to take a look at before I could really comment on the show, on his comment. So let me talk about Schnitzel's comment here, and so we're done getting neglected for another week. All right, what Schnitzel actually sent me a couple links, which I really wish I'd looked at these before. It's about Jim Two from Runner's World, and if you don't know who he is, he actually died from colon cancer this past April. He was a regular in the forums in Runner's World, and it was referred to as Jim 2. And there's I'm going to put a couple links on at ashlanddave.podbean.com, which are going to be the same links that Schnitzel sent. And it's essentially just a variety of topics of scaling back, focus on some shorter distance goals, trying to improve. And yeah, Schnitzel, I really appreciate you sending this stuff along. There's a lot of material here that will take some time to go through. I'm going to put these links at ashlanddave.podbean.com. It's Jim 2's running page. It's pretty cool. I mean, all this stuff is still up on the internet. And he's done a lot. He's done over 21 marathons. He's finished 202 road races. Of course, he passed already. I guess at the age, and he didn't start running until he was 44, and I think he died at age 71. So, Schnitzel, thanks for sending those along. If you want to email me, you can at ashlanddave@gmail.com. It's really easy to remember. I do like to get emails from people, if you want to just check in from time to time. It'd be nice to hear from you. I was a little light this week with emails, but I kind of made up for it for a little bit longer material in the show. Now, I had an interesting thing happen. We have a next door neighbor who had a family member that had a major medical emergency about a week and a half ago, and ended up passing away. Real sad. 31-year-old female daughter of my neighbor's. She didn't live there, but she was visiting at the time. Anyway, she's got an older brother who works at a company in the Richmond area, and my wife was over there talking to him when he was visiting his parents. You know, with the family, having a family member die and whatever, a lot of people have been coming to visit. And his name is Josh, and he works at a company in Richmond called Genworth. And apparently he was telling my wife how he works next to somebody or near somebody, and she was listening to something at work, and he asked what that was, and she said, oh, it's a podcast from a guy named Ashland Dave, and he lives in Ashland. And I guess Josh put it together and figured out that I was Ashland Dave because he asked my wife about it, and she said that I was. And so I'm trying to figure out who this listener is that works at Genworth over in Western Henrico. So if you're that person and you're still listening, send me an email, and I'll mention you on the show. It's kind of a neat connection that way. So I got another Richmond listener that I don't know who it is. Anyway, it's always interesting to hear stories like that. I've been doing the podcast now for a couple of years, and it's a total amateur effort. I mean, there's not really that much to it. I'm not anybody special or anything, but I do get a real kick out of when I hear about things like that, where you know people have listened to it and like it and keep listening to it again. That's always pretty cool. So anyway, that is it for the show for this week. I'm Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.